Hello, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. Your host today is Ron Giordano. We're brought to you on 101.5 FM, Huntley Radio Station, WHRULP, 101.5 FM. We have a guest with us today. He's going to talk about wills and trusts and get us into a mode of understanding more of what that's all about. Chuck, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me, Ron.
You're quite welcome. Let's start off with, what's the difference between a will and a trust, Chuck?
A will generally takes care of property at death. A trust can take care of property while you're living, and it can live on beyond the person's death. A will goes through probate. A trust does not.
Okay. So, do I need a will?
Everyone should have some type of vehicle, be it a will or a trust, sometimes both. If you don't, then what'll happen is the state will decide how your estate is distributed.
So I know some people are hesitant to get wills. They're thinking, oh, if I get a will, that means that I'm not going to be around very long. But we should probably move ahead and get a will no matter what our age is, correct?
Actually, you should do it when you're young. Parents who have young kids should at the very least have powers of attorney, but it's also good to have a will at that time and provide for the children should something happen to both parents.
So if you don't have that will and something happens to both parents, what happens then?
Again, the state would be involved and the state would determine where the child or children would go. Or if there was a family member, they'd have to petition the court and get permission to take and raise the kids. Much more expensive that way.
Okay, so I live in Illinois, and I decide I'm going to move to Denver, Colorado. Does that will move with me, or do I have to get a new will in that state?
No, the will would move with you if you lived in Colorado and you've had. But what would apply is Illinois law would apply to it, not Colorado law. Many people do it both ways. They'll keep the existing will, knowing that if they've moved and it's now being probated, say in Colorado, then Colorado law, you'd have to look. They'd have to apply the Illinois law to make it to effectuate.
So, what steps does a family take to alleviate a lot of confusion and concerns? Here, your parents pass away. They're in Denver, and you're living in Illinois. You're a son or a daughter. What do you do to avoid a lot of confusion and extra work?
Probably the best thing would be to have a trust. And then the trust, typically the trustee is the person who owns the trust. Upon death, a successor trustee steps in. That successor trustee then would distribute the property without going through probate in accordance with the terms of that trust. And in the case that you've given me then in Colorado, you'd still apply the law from Illinois.
Okay. What does the person have to do to know that that's the way it works? In other words, you're just an ordinary person, but you don't know how to address that. How do you know that it still applies to Illinois? Do you have to go through an attorney to verify everything?
It would be best to go through an attorney because an attorney is trained in the law and understands what you need to have an effective will or a trust.
So that will or that trust, that should be notarized?
I always have them notarized. For a will, you need a couple signatures. I always add the notary because a notary is saying that the witnesses were there and they appear competent. So it just helps prevent a challenge to the will or the trust.
So if it's not notarized, what happens then if that circumstance should become the situation?
Well, you still have two signatures of the witnesses. You can have them come testify if they're alive. If not, that creates more of an issue. That's why what we do in our office is we always use three witnesses, so we have an extra one.
So at any time, can I change my will?
Yes, until you die.
And once I change that will, that it has to be notarized all over again?
It'd be a new will or it'd be an amendment to the will, yes.
Okay. At what point should I be looking at updating my will? I mean, is it every 5 years, every 10 years, a certain age?
There is no fast and hard rule with that. It would depend on a change in your circumstances. For example, if you acquire more property, more assets, you may want to change how you're distributing that. As your children get older, then there may not need a guardian of the person or someone to watch the estate. And that could be one or two people, depending on who you trust and how much you trust them. Some people are good with kids. Some people are good with money. Rarely is a person good with both.
Chuck, can you tell us about living trust to avoid estate and probate taxes?
Yes, the trust is can go on beyond death. And you can provide for children, give them money over time, depending on how comfortable you are with the maturity of your children or the recipients. So the trust will avoid probate, so you don't have that cost. And you would, successor trustee then follows the terms that are contained in that trust to make the distributions and or provide for money for college for whoever, could be a relative, could be a son, may not be a son, could be a nephew, niece. The successor trustee would do that until the assets were completely out of the trust.
And how do they pick a successor trustee?
That would be up to the individual who was actually setting up the trust. It's somebody you have to have confidence in. And again, you have to look at, do you want someone older or younger than yourself?
Have you had situations in your experience where there was a successor trustee, but that person passed away before the people who had that person appointed were still alive yet? Then what happens?
Yes, I have had that happen. What you do is you either have another one, a third trustee, or there's a mechanism within the trust that allows certain people to decide who the new successor would be.
So, and what is that mechanism, Chuck?
It's a paragraph in there saying how it would be, if someone's not above them any longer, then they need to appoint a new trustee. And it's, usually it would be the beneficiaries.
Is there anything that would make a trust invalid?
Similar to a will. It would be invalid if it's done under duress, if it's done with fraud. It would be invalid. If it's not properly signed, it's going to be invalid.
Can you give examples like duress or fraud?
What we've seen would be certain children harassing their parents to do sign things to them, having them do it when they're in the hospital. We've even seen it when people have been in a hospital and they're dying, and they tried to change the will. And the question is this duress? Are they even competent to do it at that point? Typically, they're not competent. All of that would lead to a will challenge.
So when that's taking place then, how does the person who's ill, that's dying, how do they address that or make the attorney aware of the fact that, hey, this is going on? I mean, you're in this bed here and you're very ill. You know, how does that take place?
Typically, they're not the ones that are going to be able to tell you that. If the testator, the one who is the owner of the trust, if he is sick, or the person who has the will, if they are sick, chances are they're not going to know this. Rarely do they say, your brother or your sister is intimidating me. But it becomes apparent by how money is spent and the care they're given.
So in that case, you really have to have some champion for yourself to protect you that that's going on.
It's important to pick wisely for your, not only your will, but all your trust.
And what things would make a will invalid, Chuck?
Same thing as I just mentioned with the trust. If there's duress used, intimidation, if the person is not competent to change and doesn't understand what's being changed, those would be grounds. And if it's not properly signed.
So how does a trust work after somebody dies? So unfortunately, someone passes away. You have this trust. What are all the steps that you have to go through then?
The successor trustee would notify the bank that he had the power to proceed, and then he would be given given the reins to whatever accounts were at the bank. Then he can sell the assets, turn them into cash to be later distributed. It's all in the document itself. And then upon death, you'd use a death certificate and a copy of the trust and take it to a bank if that were the case.
So if the money's in a trust, when does an attorney, or when is it necessary to have an EIN number?
An EIN number is primarily for corporations, and rather than, say, an estate. Typically, the number you're going to get with the estate could be a Social Security number is used.
Okay. And then that money's then dispersed, and who oversees the disbursement to make sure that the person dispersing the funds is doing it the right way?
That depends on how it's set forth in the trust document. You can have one or two or three. It's never good to have an even number, because then if there's a disagreement, there's no way to resolve it. So it's either going to be one or it's going to be three. As trustees, you could have someone at a bank oversee how the money is spent and approve how it's going out. And then once it's finished, then the trustee closes it down.
Okay, so I have all these assets, and I need to put them in a trust. I would presume that's the way you would work it, right?
Correct.
Okay, so how do I go about doing that?
That means every title or deed you have has to be changed to have your name on it or the name of the trust. Trust dated January 19th, 2022.
Okay.
John Smith, revocable trust, dated today's date, or whatever date.
So is it better to leave a will or a trust?
It depends on the assets and what you're trying to do. If you have less than $100,000, then you could use a small estate affidavit, where you just file with the court saying there are no assets, and it's closed quickly, and then you do not incur the cost of probate. With probate, it has to be open for 6 months. Typically, that's going to mean 7 months before it's all done. And there is a cost. There's a filing fee. And there's a publishing fee.
So if I have a trust, and I'm going to leave X amount of dollars to all these different organizations, charities, and things like that, and I'm going to leave some to a brother-in-law, does he pay tax on that?
He would get that as a bequest, and typically no.
Okay. So you're thinking it's better to have a trust than a will?
I think that, and what we see many times, is the use of a trust in something that's called a pour-over will. That means any asset that's not already in the trust at death then gets poured into the trust.
So a person comes to see you, do they set up a trust and then they pour-over will as well?
Yes. What you should do would be have set up a trust if you need the trust. And then you'd have the pour-over will, and you should also have powers of attorney. And the powers of attorney are useful, and they are for health care as well as property. Meaning, if you're in the hospital and someone has to make the decision whether or not to pull a plug, the health care power of attorney takes care of that.
Now, would those people be the same people that are also as assigned trustees?
They can be. It depends on your level of trust of those people. Again, some people are good with money, some people are good property, some are good with health.
Just to remind everybody, we are broadcasting from Huntley Radio Station, 101.5 FM, WHRULP, in Huntley, Illinois. And if you have any questions you'd like to submit, huntleyradio.com. We'll be happy to field those questions for you. And any questions regarding what we're speaking about today, trust and wills, please send them on. We'll be happy to look forward to those. And any questions you've got for the future shows that you'd like to know about, please let us know. Chuck, let's get to what the power attorney of property. What can you tell us about that?
Yes, and this is something that young people should have as well, especially with kids. A power of attorney, as I mentioned a moment ago, you have one for health care. If you're incompetent and health decisions need to be made, including pulling the plug, that would be covered by the property or the health care power of attorney. Same situation. If you're incompetent, the other person can step in using the property power of attorney and act as though he were or she were you in dealing with assets. Enter into contracts, sell assets.
So, is there a substitute for a will?
I suppose there would be, and that would be to have someone. It's not going to work that well if you have several people to give assets to, but if you have one or two, you could put their name on your various accounts, then becomes joint tenancy, and there would be no estate created.
Can you give us some, in all your experience, Chuck, some situations that you've encountered that you could share with people? We don't want to talk about people's names, things like that, but situations that have come up that you wish they had done things differently, that all of a sudden it's laid at your feet and you say, oh boy, I got to straighten this mess out?
Well, typically what we see is when people come and they sit around the conference table and tell us how wonderful their family is and how they would always do the right thing. And then after that, it's just surprising how little they like each other. And that's why it's very important to get the language in the trust or in the will. If there's a dispute, if you want to challenge it, you could have what's known as an interorum clause, whereby they will be cut out completely.
Could you give us a definition of that clause so people understand what that exactly means?
That means that you'll put right in there that if anyone contests this will, they will receive nothing. That's known as an interorum clause.
Hmm. That's very interesting. What about a situation where a husband and wife are feuding? And let's say they're going to get separated, they're going to get a divorce, and you've got this trust. Now what happens?
The trust can be modified, which was why I mentioned it earlier. It's known as a revocable trust. You would want to use a revocable trust as opposed to an irrevocable trust, at least for most assets. There are certain assets that could go into an irrevocable trust, but then you've got to be very certain you're not going to want to change what you're going to do with that property. You could sell one up with land, giving it to the University of Illinois or something. But if you don't, if you want to change your mind, you will not be able to use an irrevocable trust.
So the basic definition of those two different types would be what, Chuck?
Revocable can be changed up until the time of death. Irrevocable cannot.
Okay. So you have a husband and wife, and they're still both living, and they're going to make these changes. What happens if they have children?
The changes can be made. At that point, the children have no interest in the assets. The assets belong with the husband and the wife.
So there's a divorce.
Yes.
Now you've had this trust. You still have children.
Mm-hmm.
What happens then? And there's this battle going on. You know, so it's going to be fair to the family, but what do you do so you can settle things down?
Typically, that's taken care of in the divorce, in the judgment. What's going to happen with certain assets, and that agreement will set forth exactly where it goes. And then the parameters of the trust would apply.
Okay. In all the years that you've been practicing law, what are some of the areas that you see that where people make mistakes with wills and trusts, Chuck, that you can share with us?
I guess having more trust in their offspring than they should, or in their brothers and sisters. We had one 2 years ago where a guy had, he'd been married many times, but he had a new wife, and he had kids from previous wives. The new wife came in and destroyed his will and, in effect, stole the property. And there was absolutely nothing
they
could do.
Okay, so you say destroyed. How did she go about destroying the will?
Burned it.
Oh, she burned it. Okay.
Yeah. Then it doesn't exist.
So is there a legal document filed anywhere?
No, trusts or wills are not filed. And that raises an interesting question. Do you keep the original at home, or do you keep it someplace else, either with your lawyer or in a box? But if it's in a box, the wife in this case would not be able to get the key. Otherwise, the same thing would happen. You'd have it burned.
Right. So once it was burned, then it's... And it goes,
then it
right?
goes to court, and they say, there is no will, and therefore we have to appoint someone to administer this estate. And that would take a court hearing. And there could be a challenge saying there was a will. But if you have no copy, it's an uphill battle. And in this particular case, she was able to get most of the property.
So if that occurs, how long does that take? Does it drag on for months?
Yes. There's nothing that goes on in court today that's over in a week and a half.
So it comes down to, do you have a will or do you have a trust? You might be better off with a trust.
If you have a will, it's typically resolved within 7 months, unless, well, we had one recently that took a lot longer than that, and the problem there was property in Germany, and we had to deal with the proper German officials to see what we were going to do with that property and how we could take it and then get it sold.
Would the same thing apply if you had property, let's say, in Mexico or Canada?
Yes. You're going to have to talk to the officials there, and if you're going to sell it, in our particular case, the city wanted to buy the property. So they made an offer, and it was accepted. So then we got the, it took a while, but then we got the funds for and sold the property. And then we were able to close the estate.
So there's no shortcuts when it comes to that?
The only shortcut would be if you can use a small estate affidavit and say you have assets under $100,000. Okay. And then what you do is you'd file the will. By law, you're supposed to file a will within 30 days. Used to be 75. It's now 30. Once you file it, then you open the probate estate, and you publish saying so-and-so has died. If you have a claim, get a hold of us.
Yeah, that sure takes a lot of time and a lot of extra work, a lot of energy, doesn't it?
It does. It does, and you can avoid that, again, by how I said, how you hold title to property and use of a trust. If you trust your kids enough, depending on how many you have, then you just put their names on the deed or the account with yours as a joint tenant.
And is there a way of doing it so the kids don't fight where one child says, I want more, the other child says, I want more, that they go back and forth? How do you eliminate that from happening?
Well, again, you do have the interorum clause in there. And if they're going to fight, then you just say, well, okay, then you're getting nothing.
That simple?
Yeah.
Wow. Have you had cases like that?
I've had cases where we've had to threaten that. Well, you're better off. There's another way. You can have the executor, give the executor all the power to make the decision. Better be careful with that. Hopefully he gets along with brothers and sisters. Give him that, or you set it out, one-third, 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 or one-quarter, one-quarter to so-and-so. Then you have to look at, if I'm going to give it to my son John, and John's not married, what happens to his share if he dies within 30 days of the dad or the mom? And does it switch over to one of the others? Then you get into whether or not it should be sent to per capita or per stirpes. So if you have a child who has two kids and they don't live, you put in there, it goes per stirpes, then that share, that one-third, would go down to of two kids, and they each get half of that.
Okay, and what happens if one kid is deceased, it goes to the other child, correct?
Depending on, yes, typically it does. It's easier if there are no grandkids involved with that, but many times there are certain kids who are single, don't have children, and then you have the others who do have children, anywhere from 1 to 8 or whatever.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of grandparents that are concerned about how they would leave, you know, their estate with their children and what's the best way of going about it. So this way, there's no argument, because it seems that when people do pass, there's always something that takes place that creates a problem.
That's correct. And the best way to do it is if you're using a will, and only your lawyer can tell you if that's the proper vehicle. A trust is nice, but a will may be fine, but you're going to want the detail in there so it's very clear what happens upon death.
Okay, quick question. Let's say you own a home,
Okay. And
you pass. Okay, and now there's a mortgage on that house. Does that money come out of the proceeds that are left in the will or the trust? How does that work?
Typically, there's going to be a clause in the will or the trust that says the executor or successor trustee has the power to pay off any debt, and that does come out of the estate.
Okay. I think that gives a pretty round picture of what's going on, and if it comes out of the estate, then someone's got to come up with the money to be able to cover that and pay for that, correct, Chuck?
Well, hopefully it's the estate.
I hope so, too. We just want to take a moment and say that we appreciate your listening to us, folks, and once again, it's Huntley Radio Station, WHRULP 101.5 FM. Any comments you may have, please send them to huntleyradio.com. Chuck, is there a number if someone has a question about a will or trust that they can contact you?
Oh, absolutely. Our office number is 815-356-6000.
Can you give us that one more time, Chuck?
Absolutely. 815-356-6000.
And with us today has been Chuck Dunlop, and we appreciate you coming along. And come on again, Chuck. We appreciate your time.
Anytime. Just ask, Ron.
Thank you very much, folks, and we're going to sign off for today. Thank you again for listening. Thank you.